that is contentious all the time, that fails to pay their debts, mm-hmm. that is just unfaithful in property that they would borrow, guess what? Now it causes you to be a lot more careful because you say, hey, last time they ripped me off. I'm not going back to that.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, some of the most shoddy work and the people that rip you off the most are so-called Christian mm-hmm. companies. And, you know, what Paul's saying there is not that you can't have lawsuits, because we see later on that he actually used the court system to his benefit. Mm-hmm. That was in the church, though, you know, that, right. And that's what the church was supposed to judiciate between the two brethren. But there comes a time where you just almost want to throw your hands up and just say, hey, I'd rather be wrong, like he was saying there, because just to continue on is bringing strife, is bringing division, and what have you. But as we mentioned last week, too, the church acted as that court system, mm-hmm. even for the pagans, because things got so bad in their own court system. Right. But that's what he's saying there is rather be wrong. He says, you know the character of this people. Don't lend to them. Don't trust them, even though they call themselves a brother mm-hmm. or sister. And that would avoid much more trouble down the road. How many times do we all say, God, you know what? I knew what they were like, and I should have never let them take this or borrow that. I'd never get it back. And, that was really a Sammy's laughing. Sammy, did you take some property of people?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I always said, we all have those kind of family members that borrow something from us, some money or something. My wife's like, we give them $50 or whatever, and then we never hear from them again. I'm like, well, that's great. If all I had to do was give them $50 and they didn't come back, I would have did that a long time ago. Right? But, no, it's not that Paul wasn't saying always be wronged. You know, as Pastor Don said, is the scripture's full of things where we have to be wise, and the Bible says to be wise as a serpent but gentle as a dove. You have to have wisdom and know when to go through the court system, when to go, first, if it's in church and you're with another brother and that offense is in the church, then you need to go through that leadership process in the church. Not take that outside the church first and then come back through the church, but you go through the church and try to reconcile. That's what Scripture says with our brother, is we always want to reconcile. So, but what helps with that, 1 Corinthians 13, is love. So let's go through that a little bit. It says, if I speak the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I responded like a child. When I became a man, I put the childish ways, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only in reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I'm going to go into a quick video because I thought it was funny. And then we'll talk.
I think it's already starting. I made it Valentine. Thank you. You're welcome. It's blank. No. It said it was. Says I love you. That's so weird. You know that I don't really. You know that all Valentine's say I love you? Yeah. Didn't know that. Does that mean that you have a crush on me?
No.
No.
I don't. I don't have a crush on you.
I just love you. That makes no sense. I made a Valentine for you.
Thanks.
You know what it says?
What?
I can't read and I don't know how to spell anything. But it says that I'm happy Valentine's Day.
Why didn't you write that you love me on mine?
I don't love you. I just like you.
Huh. Does that mean you have a crush on me?
No, it doesn't. It means that I just know that Valentine's Day is special. So I give Valentine's notes that say Happy Valentine's Day.
Why don't you love me?
I don't know. If I would, I would say that.
I didn't really have a crush on her for real.
Yeah.
So, as Paul says, you know, put our childish ways behind us, you know, as we grow up. You know, when we're a child, we think that's what love is, you know. We don't really know. It's just some feeling or something that, you know, you tell somebody because you like them or you have a crush on them, as they were talking about. But as the Bible, you know, this scripture tells us what love really is when it describes love as patient, love as kind, not self-seeking. I like the part where it says that it doesn't hold any record of wrongs, right here. I like to point that out all the time to my wife, you know. Hey, you know, love doesn't hold any records of wrong, babe. You know what I mean? You like that one? You can take that one, Fred. I don't mind if you keep that as your own, you know. Also, in Luke, it talks of Peter. This is when Peter went to tell Christ, you know, when he was telling them about him being betrayed. Peter says, but he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. What Peter was doing was he was confessing to Christ that he had the highest level of love for him, that he was ready to die for him. And what Jesus said was, no, you don't, because you're going to deny me. So I looked up in the Greek. This is for Donovan when he listens to my tape. Looked up in the Greek, the word here that Jesus uses when he reinstates Peter, and he talks about love, and we got love a couple times in here. And what we lose in the translation from Greek to English is, in the Greek they use different words for love, and in the English we only use the one. But based on our actions, we know whether you're, you know, what level of love you have for that person. But in the Greek, they like to use the word that described it. So here it's talking about when Jesus says love, it's the highest form of love. And then Paul replies to him with a brotherly love, or a lower form of love. So I'm going to go back and show you what that is in the Greek, because in the Greek, this word, I'm going to go to this because I can't pronounce it right. So I went here to here.
Strong's G25, agapao, agapao.
I wanted to say agape, but it says agapao. Yeah. And then the other word right here is
Strong's G5368. Phileo. Phileo.
Okay. So agapao means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. So Jesus was saying, do you love me dearly? And then Paul had responded with this love, which is to love, to approve of, to like, to treat affectionately or kindly. So when we go back and read that, now this scripture has a whole different meaning to us, because in the English we're like, well, why did Jesus ask him three times? Well, maybe it's because he denied him three times, right? But that's not the case, because what Jesus was saying, which if we read, was when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agapo, whatever, me, agape, more than these? And he said, Peter responds, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my lamb. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? So the first two times he asked him, do you agape me? The third time he says, do you phileo me? Now it makes sense why Peter says, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you phileo me? So Jesus was asking him, do you agape me? And then the third time, he brought it down and said, do you phileo me? And that's when Peter was hurt, because he realized Jesus is saying, okay, this is where you're at. And he replied the same, that he phileoed him. So, go ahead. Sure.
Title's a little bit misleading where it says Jesus reinstates Peter. Uh-huh. I always look at that when I read that, and I think, you know, he brings them to a point of a complete humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reinstating of him is only after he recognizes and confesses what's truly in his heart. Because as we said, you know, he ran his mouth off. I'll go to prison. I'll go to death with you. You know, I agapeo you. And here's Jesus. And it's the same way with us. We always want to profess how much we love Christ. And then we go through that time, that trial, whatever it is, and we realize, uh-oh, you know, maybe I got mad and I didn't portray my witness the way I should have, and other people see it that way, you know. And he recognized, and you know, he brought Peter, and he, you know, wanted Peter to be honest with himself. Mm-hmm. Peter, how much do you really, you know, how much do you really love me? And he can only really say, you know, I filio you. And, you know, that was a humiliating thing to say because he had ran his mouth in front of everybody else. But yet Jesus recognizes us where we're at. He recognizes none of us are at that point. You know, we may, well, I love Jesus. I'll lay everything down for Jesus. When you hear people say that, I always think of this passage. You know, it's like, well, we'll see, you know. But it was really, yeah, reinstatement, but it always came after he was humbled, mm-hmm. and then he truly recognized where he was at.
Right.
And then he was reinstated to his position. Feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. Take care of my lambs. Recognize where you're at. Don't try to fool people. Don't try to boast about how much you love God and what have you. Recognize where you're at. That doesn't mean you don't try to improve and love him more and more. But recognize where you're at and serve him in where you're at.
Right.
That's where people take numbers out of the Bible and run in the wrong direction with them, like you said with the three there. What three means is spiritual completeness, and that's what Pastor Don just said happened there, right? It was now he spiritually understood where he was mm-hmm. at. Jesus completed that because he had to know where he was at and start from there. Mm-hmm. That's why the number three, that's why three times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, also, you know, like Pastor Don said, is once he's reinstated, you know, we should always look at where we're at, you know, never boasting, putting ourselves higher, or saying that we are something that we're not, you know. I know as a father, when my children are honest of where they're at, then you're happy with that because you can help them where they're at. When they recognize where they are, you can help them move forward. But when they're not recognizing where they are, then they're deceiving themselves, and you can't really help them because they're not willing to recognize that. And that's where, you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of us are like, we are like the disciples. A lot of people think, well, that means that we're better. No, we're like them because we make all the same mistakes that they made. How many times did Peter run his mouth off, or, you know, even when in this scenario, when Jesus reinstates him, they were on the lake and they see Jesus on the shore, and John says, it's Jesus. What does Peter do? Jumps out of the boat. He's always got to make that, you know, jumps out of the boat to swim over there. And then, you know, John says back, he's like, all right, roll the boat, we'll get over there. But, you know, that shows one characteristic, you know, that of someone who's quick to jump into something. That's not means that's bad, it's just that's their, you know, that's where they're at. That's where Peter was, is he was quick to jump into stuff. Kind of reminds me of someone else I know. Actually, that one was directed at Sammy.
I repent. I feel on you, Sammy.
Hey, I ain't denying it. Don't call me bull for nothing.
So that agape love is really what 1 Corinthians is talking about. And if we look at John 3:16, that's the same word here. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then in John 15, it says, "My commandment is this, love each other," that's the agape, "as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about, is the agape love, not the phileo love. So even when I was reading this, I'm like, oh man, I got to have this high, you know. You got to have this love, you know, that Christ has. And that's where we, you know, I fall short, that I don't always have that love that he has. I don't have that love towards everybody, or not everybody, but my brothers and sisters, and you know, this love isn't a love that you have to have towards everybody, but towards your brothers and sisters. It says right here too, on John 14, it says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So now that agape love is saying that we, to show that love, back to where I was talking about in English, you know, all languages, but in the English, we have one word, love, and by our actions, we're able to say whether that person loves someone else with what level of love. And Christ is saying, by our actions here, if we love him, then we're going to keep his commands. So we all know, you know, people confess that they are Christian, but yet when you look at what they actually do, their actions show something totally different. I was reading an article yesterday on one of the Christian things. Can't remember what website I was on, but talked about one of the guys, some pastor was astounded that Hillary Clinton knew Scripture. And I was like, well, that's great to know the Scripture, but your actions aren't showing that you're actually using that. You're not applying it. You don't have that love for Christ, because if you did, then all of your policies and all your things that you do would show that. You can't be a disciple of Christ and not be a disciple of Christ at the same time in two different settings.
The guy that made that remark used the wrong word. Yeah. She doesn't know the Word of God. She quoted the Word of God. It would have been an accurate description.
One step further. He does know it, he just doesn't believe it. There's plenty of people like that too.
One of the things I've noticed in watching TV during campaigns and that is what a lot of the politicians say is, I'm a Christian. This is what I really believe. But when I'm in office, I have to obey the law, not what I think. Mm-hmm. So they always cop out on doing the right thing by blaming the law. Well, abortion is legal, so therefore I have to do this or I have to do that.
In Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?" That's, you know, that love that we should be using or acting out as God acts out. It doesn't mean that we just go out and love everybody. It means that we, God do? He sent his own son to die so that whoever would believe in him would inherit eternal life. So what are we supposed to be doing? Going out the same way he did and reaching those people who might be your enemies or those who persecute you, that you're still reaching out. You're still being a light. You're still loving them in the sense of how God loves the world and how Christ loves the world. Not that everything's okay with what they do, but you're trying to reach them for the gospel to change their life. Not to just overlook everything that they do, but to reach out to them like Paul did when he was in prison. You know, many people say Paul wasn't a prisoner. He was in chains, but those guards were prisoners, right? Because they had to listen to Paul day and night, talk about Jesus Christ, and explain all the things to them. And so they were prisoners. And he went in front of kings and did all that. I put this back in here so that I just point out in 1 Corinthians 13 which ones all of these love, every one of them, were the agape love. So if we go back and look at love is patient, that's that agape. So if we're not being patient and we're not being kind and we're not doing all these things, then we're not having that highest form of love. Because I know for myself that there's a lot of times that, especially with your own children, that you do it. You have this love for them. How many parents have given up something they want so that their kids could have something? Or that you didn't keep that record of wrong against your child when they do something wrong, right? You teach them, you retrain them, and you have that love that doesn't fail. You know, at the end it says love does not fail. And that's that love that you have for your own children that Christ is calling us to have for our brothers and sisters and for him. This is where Pastor Don was kind of alluding to, was everything that we do when we make our decisions let me just read this and it will come back to me. It says, Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So when we're back to the, this is what it was replying to, back to the lawsuits and things like that, is there's a time for these things. There's a time for a lawsuit and there's a time where there isn't. So you have to use love as guiding you, which is Christ, right? Not just this love that, you know, I fell in love, now I fell out of love. Not that kind of love, you know. Love is really a commitment. If you're going to commit yourself to die for somebody, you're not going to then fall out of love, right? So a love is a commitment. We use love, which is that guiding principle of our life, to make those decisions, whether we should, what level should we go with when we're offended or when someone borrows something and doesn't return it. Do we go to the person? Yes, you always try to do that. And then what's the next step? How far do you want to go is based on using love and wisdom, and the Holy Spirit obviously drives all those things to make those decisions. And so that's it. We tie it all back together, and that's why I did the love the second half, is so that we could look at the lawsuit, and then love kind of crowns it. And with love, there's not going to be as many lawsuits, right? That's it.
Amen. Everybody give him a hand. Thank you. I like that last thing you put down there, a time to love and a time to hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember that. Like Ed was making that point very clearly. There's a time to love and a time to hate. God loves, God hates. But he's speaking mainly about your brothers and sisters and the lawsuits. If you're in a car accident with somebody that you don't even know and they say, mm-hmm. well, I ain't going to pay you, there's nothing wrong with getting a lawyer and asking for that money. It's a totally different thing. This was causing division in the church,
right?
Is what the real problem was. Amen? Amen. All right. Ed, who would you like to close us?
How about my lovely wife?
Your lovely wife. I think that's an excellent idea. Would you please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, Lord God, and we thank you for the message that Ed had brought forth, Lord. We pray that our love would grow for the agape love towards you, Lord, the love that you have for the church, Lord. Lord, we ask that you just bless the message today with Pastor John and all the worship team. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.